Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Today, we're going to learn about the nursing workforce at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and we'll speak with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
In the National Guard, we place a high value on physical fitness, just as important as our physical well-being as our mental well-being. This month, we recognize mental health awareness. I want to bring attention to the concept of resiliency and what it means for our soldiers and airmen. Resiliency is about our ability to adjust to and recover from adversity. While serving in the National Guard, we juggle many responsibilities, from family commitments to our civilian careers, all while fulfilling our commitment to our nation's defense. At times, we can feel overwhelmed. It is a natural response to our fast-paced lives. If you are experiencing difficulties maintaining this balance, I want you to know that help is available and that asking for help is a sign of strength. Our psychological health coordinators offer confidential assistance. You can call them 24 hours a day at 651-282-4029. That's 651-282-4029.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Here to share some information about the nursing workforce at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system is Katie Nelson and Amy Daly. Katie is the chief nurse of daily nursing operations and professional practice, and Amy is the nurse recruitment and retention specialist for Minneapolis and the Veterans Integrated Service Network's 23 region. Katie, Amy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Good to have you here. We're in the studio, and we love having our VA partners here in the studio with us. Occasionally when that happens, I get to see my good friend Melanie, and that's always nice to have her come in and see that smiling face. But I want to talk about nursing over at the VA. That's the topic that we were given for today. I think it's an important topic. And Katie, I want to start with you. If you can just tell us a little bit about your journey, what's your background look like, and then ultimately what led you to the VA healthcare system here in Minneapolis?
Yeah, thank you for asking. First of all, I just want to say how appreciative we are to be here on behalf of the Minneapolis VA nursing workforce to speak to our veteran population that's listening in right now. It's my first time here, so thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm excited because I'm following my grandfather's footsteps, so he has been a guest here on military radio before. And so I know he's looking down on me. He'd be so proud of me right now. But let me tell you a little bit about my why and why I went to VA with my nursing career. So I am here because my grandfather, who passed away just in 2021, was a World War II veteran. He was a B-17 tail gunner, and I spent a lot of my childhood with him. He helped raise me. We spent many, many days together, and as he aged, he used more and more of the VA's resources and care that was provided to him. And I was lucky enough to go out to the VA with him for many of his appointments. And throughout my years, he would always share his military experiences when he was overseas with me. And he spoke about the incredible health care that he would receive at the Minneapolis VA. And then finally, when I was with him out at those appointments, I got to see it all come together. The nursing at the bedside and really providing that veteran-focused mission, I knew I wanted to be there. That's what I wanted to do with my career, and it felt right to be there.
Wow. And you said your grandfather was on the show previously.
Yes, back in 2015.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, and what's your grandfather's name?
Vincent Parker.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
awesome.
A character.
Yeah, that is great. Well, thank you for sharing that, and great to have you here, and thanks for what you're doing for our veterans out at the Minneapolis VA. Yeah. So let's talk about your reason, Amy, and kind of what led you to your background, and then again, what ultimately brought you to the Minneapolis VA.
Yes, thank you. So, similar to Katie's experience as well, I've got a military family background. Katie and I also share a similar story where we both started here as student nurses and started our career here in kind of a clinical academic background where we started our student nurse experience, having those clinical shadowing experiences at the VA, and got to see a lot of our training experiences. experiences through the VA and shadowing our nursing staff at the VA facility, which is an important part of those student learning experiences. And it was really apparent early on in my learning career as a student that the VA was different. And being a part of clinicals in other facilities, really getting to see how the nursing staff at the VA was definitely very mission-driven. And it's hard to articulate until you've been there and seen the nursing staff and how they care for the patients and even the patients themselves, that connection that they have and with themselves or with each other as veterans. And you can be a nurse anywhere, but you can, the only place that you can care for veterans and America's heroes everywhere is at the VA. And that's really what makes the VA different than anywhere else. And, you know, I worked in private sector and non-VA facilities, and as soon as I could come back to the VA, I knew I really wanted to come back to the VA and keep my care there and keep working there professionally as a nurse. And I've been there almost 20 years now, so I think that speaks to the retention that we have as our staff that really do believe in what we do there. And I love saying that when we train our nurses, we have with this video that we show them, and it's called Why We Do What We Do. And I was telling these guys earlier that I could watch it 100 times, and it still chokes me up because it really does speak to the mission of why we provide the care that we care and the care that we provide to our veterans, because it really does speak to our nursing care, why I'm still there.
Yeah. Well, I can attest. I do use the VA myself, and the care is always top-notch. All of my interactions with any of the staff has been just fantastic. And so you guys are a big part of that. So thank you again, both of you, for what you did to take care of our Minnesota veterans. Amy, I want to stay with you because I want to talk a little bit about, you know, we're talking about the nursing program. And so I'd like for you to kind of tell us a little bit about what do you want others to know? Other than the fact that this is really the only place you can go where you're always going to be caring for mm-hmm. veterans, right? But what do you want people to know about the nursing staff? And then maybe you can explain some of the other statistics, right? Like how many nurses are out there or, you know, what are some of the specialties or roles that our nurses play?
Great question. So in case people don't know, our Minneapolis VA healthcare system is really made up of our main campus in Minneapolis, and then we have 13 community-based outpatient clinics, or we call them CBOCs, which are throughout Minnesota and western Wisconsin. And throughout that healthcare system that we call it, we employ around 1,300 nursing staff. And that's made up of advanced practice nurses, registered nurses, licensed practical nurses, and nursing assistants. So all of those entities make up what we consider our nursing staff. So it's a big group of professionals. We need everybody to provide the care to our veterans throughout all of those different areas and that whole continuum of care. Fun fact, we have, of all that nursing staff, 12% of our nursing staff are veterans themselves. So again, I think that also speaks to the population that we serve and the focus of our veteran nursing staff themselves, who also want to work at the VA and continue to serve their veteran population as nursing professionals as well. We are also considered one of the largest VAs in the country due to the complexities of services that we provide our veterans. The care that's given in our variety of roles from critical care to inpatient to outpatient to mental health, procedural areas, spinal cord, polytrauma, procedural, did I mention procedural? rehab, emergency department, basically anything but pediatrics is what I tell people. If you know, we provide services to veterans in all of those areas and specialty areas. So what roles do nurses carry and care for veterans in all of those specialty areas? So we're really represented in every skill set that nurses can be visible, can be present, and can be providing care to veterans in all of those areas.
Now, one of the things we've talked about on this show many times is the women's clinic.
Yeah.
That will be opening soon. I would imagine, you know, as a recruiting and retention specialist, that's going to be one of the things you're really focusing on because you'll need more nurses, I would assume, for that facility.
Sure hope so, yes.
Well, shovel went in the ground.
Yes.
So we know that it's under construction, right?
Yes.
So that's good. All right, so you said that 12% of the nursing staff right now are veterans. Mm-hmm. When you interact with the patients, our veterans out at the Minneapolis VA, What kind of response do you get? Or maybe they don't even know that the person that's caring for them, their nurse, is a veteran. I'm just wondering if that makes a big difference for our veterans.
Well, I think it's a common ground. You know, I think, like I mentioned earlier, I think one of the things that connects our veterans, our patient population with themselves, it's a common ground where they all have that in common, which is different than any other place that you can be, where that military experience, regardless of where they served, is what makes them special, what makes them unique. They already have that camaraderie with each other. They're always looking out for each other. I've cared for patients in a room where they maybe a patient fell, or maybe they couldn't reach their bedside table, and their roommate will call and put their colleague on for their roommate, for their neighbor, because they look out for each other. And same thing for the nursing staff. You know, I think they'll come in and introduce themselves, and it's already a common bond where they say, "Hey, I served here, and did you have this?" I mean, so it's a camaraderie in all aspects of the care that's provided, and we have veterans serving in every aspect, but definitely in nursing too.
Yeah, sure. Well, that makes a great deal. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about the training programs, and we'll talk to you, Katie, a little bit about that. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I have in the studio with me Katie Nelson and Amy Daly. They're from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Nurses out there, we're talking about the nursing staff, the workforce out of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And Katie, we let the last segment, we let Amy consume a lot of that time, but that's okay. It was great information. I do want to come to you a little bit, though, and talk about, you know, some of the training, right? We want to bring nurses in, of course, to the Minneapolis VA, but there's got to be some training that goes along with that. So I wonder if you could talk about what training programs you might have to bring our nurses in and keep our nurses.
Yes. So let's start from the beginning stages of when a nurse might present to the VA and they're applying to the VA with their licensure. So we, on average, hire about 10-20% of new graduate nurses. And we need to find a way to support those new grads to ensure they're successful in not just their nursing career, but ensuring they're successful in caring for our veteran population. That first year of a nursing professional's career can be challenging, right? They're out of the education setting, moving into the professional workforce. And so we at the Minneapolis VA, we have VA training programs. We have where we have a nurse residency program that is a year long, and we help support those new graduate nurses. We have monthly connections as this new graduate cohort meets together, and they are provided supplemental education. You know, the stressors that are happening in their daily their practice, and we provide pointed education that will help support veteran outcomes. And that is given over the first year of the new graduate's career at the Minneapolis VA and those surrounding CBOCs, or community-based care clinics. So that's one way that there are, you know, continued education for new graduate nurses. Backing up a step, Amy and I both mentioned that we were part of a student nurse technician program before we became registered nurses. This is our SNT, or Student Nurse Technician Program, and it's like a nursing internship. So we came to the VA, and through the VA internship program, Student Nurse Technician, and we work alongside nurses, and that is where an opportunity is provided to a student nurse to really assess, how do I want to serve the population at the bedside, or in a different format, but at the bedside mostly for our student nurse technicians. This is where I learned my commitment should be to the Minneapolis VA and serving our veterans. It gives them an opportunity to further their learning, but also to figure out where they want to be.
When we talk about the student nurse technicians, you said as an intern.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it often a position that leads to employment at the VA, or is it just kind of, you know, I mean, we would hope, right, it would lead to employment or to become a nurse at the VA, but is that really the primary goal?
It's a great recruitment program, yes. So the SNTs, the student nurse technicians, are working alongside the registered nurses on the units, and they have exposure to the nurse manager there. And so that does help with recruitment. And nurses are, we have a really great retention rate of our student nurse technicians. And so it bodes well for the program, and it's serving for our veteran population.
Do you have one area where you get a lot of your referrals from, or one entity you work the most with?
So our student nurse technician program is independent of any type of other training program affiliated with a nursing school. So we also have academic affiliations with a handful of nursing schools here in the Twin Cities. So for example, Bethel or the U of M have academic affiliations with the VA. So what does that mean? When a nurse is going through their training, the student nurse must complete a handful of clinical rotations at the bedside. And so the educational organization must have areas to go to actually complete those clinicals. And the Minneapolis VA has a handful of affiliations with other nursing training programs out in the community. So as I said, the U of M, St. Thomas, Bethel are some of our key ones. And we have great recruitment from those programs as well, because they come in, they experience what it's like to be a nurse at the VA. They're working hand in hand with those nursing staff, and it's a great opportunity for them to have exposure and choose VA.
When you talk about the bedside training, mm-hmm. right? Obviously there's a lot to nursing. You got to start somewhere, mm-hmm. and you made it sound like, you know, that's kind of like the entry point is to start with bedside stuff. So describe that for me. What are you talking about? Is this reading a chart? Is this providing pills? What is that?
All of the above. Mm-hmm. So it depends where you are in your training program for your student nurse training. But you will be paired up typically with a nurse, and depending upon where you are in your training, it could be doing an assessment of a veteran at the bedside. It could be listening to their heart and lungs. It could be passing medications. It could be providing discharge education with the nurse at the bedside. So really the full spectrum of the nursing process, and enhancing it with that flavor of veteran-specific care. So really focusing on outcomes related to veterans, ensuring that they have support upon discharge and the full continuum of care.
And when we talk about bringing in these nurses in training, do they get the opportunity then to like work in each of the different departments inside of the VA? So they might be able to support in, I don't know, blood draw, for example, or x-rays, or, you know, do they kind of go around the whole thing to really understand where their niche might be so they can get that idea, or how does that work?
Amy, I might help ask for your support on this one as well, but typically it's in one area. There might be times where they're offered opportunities to go maybe shadow and experience another area or specialty, but typically it's isolated to one area for that clinical rotation. Amy, anything further to say on that one?
It really depends, but sometimes they'll have clinical expansion opportunities in other areas as they're able or as they're requested. But it's great. This last year we've trained over 200 students from a variety of different academic affiliations. I think what's really great, and just expanding off what Katie's mentioned, is what really sets the VA apart academically with our nursing staff, and why we really think veterans should come to the VA for their care is, you know, the academic training of our nursing staff is. Above everywhere else. We have over 83% of our nursing staff have a minimum of a bachelor's degree in nursing, with master's degrees, PhDs, or doctorates above that bachelor's degree. So 83% of our nursing staff have a minimum of a bachelor's degree, which is more than you'll see in the private sector. So we really put an emphasis on higher education from our nursing staff, because that resonates into higher patient outcomes, better patient outcomes. And we continue to put an emphasis on supporting our staff to go back for further education. And the VA does a really great job at supporting our staff to continue and further that education. So whether they start with us from a student, we hire them in as a professional staff, we support them to go back for further education. And so I really think, you know, why do we want veterans to come to the VA? Our staff are highly educated. They're highly trained. In addition to their, what we call or consider a baseline education where they're licensured coming in, there's additional education called board certification, which is above and beyond beyond your quote, basic licensure. And from that, our nursing staff, over 20% of our nursing staff, that 1,300 I was giving you, carry what's called a specialty board certification. So that's above and beyond that baseline license. So that also is, that can be in critical care, which is what Katie has one, and that can be in nursing professional development, that can be in so many other things that just show the expertise and the specialty area of focus that our nursing staff have that resonates into that patient-centered care that they give at the bed, in not just at the bedside, but yeah, at everywhere, right? So our nurses are highly trained, they're highly educated, and that resonates into excellence for veteran care.
Well, you did a great job of segueing right into the last question I was going to ask you, and that was, why do we want veterans to come to the Minneapolis VA? And so, Katie, I'm going to give you the last 25 seconds here. Your thoughts about why our veterans should come to the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
Yeah, I believe veterans receive top-notch care at the Minneapolis VA because of not only the nursing staff, but all of the professionals there who are focused on mission-driven care. It's really easy to rally behind a change because everyone is so focused on ensuring the veteran mission and improving patient outcomes. Mm-hmm. So specific to nursing, we come together, we are highly educated, we empathetic at the bedside, and given part of our nursing workforce is a veteran status themselves, we're able to make that connection with the veteran, and yeah, it just sets it off on the right tune.
Well, that's awesome. Hey, I appreciate you guys coming in, sharing. I know people can go out to the Minneapolis VA healthcare website, get more information, mm-hmm, find out about the different opportunities for the student nursing technicians and all the other great stuff. So appreciate you coming in and sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. That was Katie Nelson and Amy Daly from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In a moment, we're going to check in with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
Duty, honor, pride. These words reflect the spirit of generations of women who have sought to defend the rights and freedom of others. In March, we take time to honor and celebrate the accomplishments women have made during Women's History Month. Since World War II, women have served in various military roles such as pilots, doctors, nurses, medical technicians, drivers, aviators, gunners, mechanics, supply technicians, intelligence roles, and so much more. For years, women have been serving in the military alongside their male comrades. However, their service often goes unrecognized. As we observe Women's History Month, it's important that we also take time to pay tribute and recognize the service and sacrifice of our women veterans in Minnesota. This month, make it your mission to thank a woman veteran for their service.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio are the community outreach coordinators for Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Stephanie Hurt has served as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon community outreach coordinator since July of 2022. And Tanya Mo Forbes has served as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon community outreach coordinator since August of 2024. Stephanie and Tanya, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I do want to apologize to you right off the bat, Stephanie. I had the music queued up so you could hear the Rocky theme, and for some reason, it didn't play. I apologize, so we'll get it next time, okay?
All right. You know, that's how we like to enter with
that Rocky theme.
With the Rocky theme.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate both of you for being here, and you know, the work that you're doing out there. And, you know, we obviously Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is one of our producers for the show. So we get to get regular updates. Normally we're talking to the community partners or the corporations. And we wanted to bring in a couple of the actual people doing some of that coordinating and just get some updates. And so I do want to start with you, Stephanie, and have you tell us a little bit about, you know, your highlights from 2024.
You know, I have to say that Beyond the Yellow Ribbon just as a whole is like we joke around as Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, One Nation, and we reference it as Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Nation. But we had an incredible year in 2024. And some of our highlights included that we did 3.8 $1 million in financial assistance to service members, veterans, and their families. Additionally, we sent off over 1,200, or excuse me, we had 1,200 events, and we sent off 4,379 care packages to deployed service members. And then we did nearly 50,000 hours of volunteering. So that's crazy to think about those volunteer hours and what that kind of equated to, at a roundout number of 6.1 million. And then we kicked off new initiatives that went off statewide. This year, in 2024, we kicked off Operation Kinship, which is super cool. We actually sent care packages to the home front heroes, the spouses left behind.
Oh, wow.
While their loved ones are gone, we recognize that that takes sacrifice too. And we see you and we hear you and we want you to know that we appreciate you.
Talk a little bit about the money aspect, because you've got how many different networks and community partners you're working with. So it's not like this is the Minnesota National Guard's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon coordinators. You've got a bunch of partners out there you're working with, and that's how you get to the numbers you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, the goal is synergy, right? Like, everyone has a seat at our table. No one's ever going to be turned away. If you have a good, like, the do-gooders do good, right? Like, let's just get everyone to the table and let's figure out how we can do more good. So that was like the same thing that happened with our Hero Meals initiative that always delivers meal kits, full packs, around Thanksgiving and Christmas time. So there are plenty of partners within the state that work with food insecurity. Well, do you have an interest in working with just veterans, like that population? Mm-hmm. We can help control that. Let's help it. So for that initiative in 2024, we moved 20 tons of food.
Wow.
Across the state in two waves with volunteers. And then we partnered with our Soldier Family Readiness Specialist team that got it out to our service members and our veterans. So we're tying in our readiness professionals. We're tying in Meals from the Heart, Hunter's Harvest, Thomson Reuters, Minnesota Wild. All of us kind of come together to say, like, hey, how do we tackle this? And everyone has a seat at our table.
Yeah, and I mean, that's got to be kind of a challenge, right, to try to get all of that group together. So maybe you can talk about some of those, the other challenges that you have to go through, right? I mean, because it's challenges of reaching our veterans, of reaching our family members. You know, what are the things that you're really trying, what barriers are you trying to really break down?
So I think some of it has to go down to, when we talk about our community networks, is kind of just having an awareness of the program. How can I get involved? What can I do? This is so amazing. How can I help? I think there's people out there that they want to help, but they just don't know how. So what does that look like? Could it be, hey, I want to volunteer. I see that this is a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon event. I can put a vest on and I can move garbages. I don't need to be a person that does anything specific. Or I can take tickets. Or I can do this. Or I can help be a parking attendant. There are so many different ways that anyone can help. So whether it is volunteering that one time for an event, or perhaps it's that Vietnam veteran that needs their Walmart order picked up. Yeah. And maybe you just drop it off at their house and you help them unpack it and you have a cup of coffee.
Sure.
And you just hang out that way. But additionally, let's say that your life is just not really conducive to volunteering right now. You're busy, you're a mom or you're a dad, and you're running kids around like we're just Ubers, right? So maybe it's just a matter of, I'm going to go to that rib fest. I like ribs. Who doesn't like ribs? Let's go eat some ribs.
Yeah.
Like, and knowing that when you participate and go to those events, you're helping the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and all of that money goes back into service members, veterans, and their families. Like, there isn't a single chair on any of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon networks that take a salary. None of them do. It's all 100% volunteer.
Oh, that's awesome. We'll talk a little bit later on the next segment about how people can get connected. I want to make sure we bring Tanya into the conversation here. You know, you've only been on the team since August of 2024, so... You know, what led you to the team, and what do you think so far? What's your experience been like so far with the Yellow Ribbon Network?
It's funny you should ask. I always tell Steph and Taylor and the rest of the team that I wish I had been a part of this years and years and years ago. I feel like I missed out on a lot of opportunity to give back and spend more time with these ladies, because it really has been an amazing experience. How did I get involved? I'm a military spouse. I have other family members who are in the military as well. So I feel like this is just one thing that I can do to give back And it's just fulfilling, and I'm grateful for all of the experiences and being able to get to know everybody in the state of Minnesota and the Minnesota Guard and our community networks and our corporate partners. It's been fantastic.
And your husband recently returned with the 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Division from that deployment. And Stephanie, your husband serves as well.
Yes.
So both of you have kind of like an invested or vested interest here on Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, because it isn't just about building the community networks. It's about what you were talking about before, Stephanie, taking care of and connecting with the spouses.
Absolutely.
Because they sacrifice, if not more than the service member themselves.
Yeah, well, you're preaching to the choir over here. I mean, that's part of it, that we need to recognize that. And I felt that, you know, having been married for 17 years to a military member, and then, well, with them for 23, and that's practically his entire military career.
Yeah.
So I don't know any different. Like, that is our marriage. That's what it is. I don't know any different. But you have, in order to be successful from a home front, you have to have a support network that helps with that. So what does that mean? And I just want to say thank you, because I get it.
Right.
I see it. I know what it's like to have your husband gone on a training and your basement floods. True
and it
story.
Is more difficult these days as well to make those connections, because spouses, partners, family members aren't all together at a drill weekend,
right,
for example.
Yeah.
They're dispersed across the state and have to drive to different areas on their drill weekends or their annual trainings. So it is harder to make those connections, which is what we would like to focus on going forward, is ensuring that we can help facilitate some of those connections.
Another good segue. We'll talk about what's coming next here in the next segment. So we'll take a quick break here. And then when we do come back, we'll continue our conversation with Stephanie and Tanya, talk about 2025 and beyond. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I have Stephanie Hurt and Tanya Mo Forbes in the studio with me here from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. They are outreach coordinators. And Tanya, I want to start with you this time. I know that there's a big workshop coming up in up at Camp Ripley here next month. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit about what that workshop is and why it's so important.
Absolutely. Our workshop coming up is for both our corporate partners and our community networks to get together and network and learn together. We have a fantastic theme called What's Brewing with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. All sorts of coffee themes, as you would guess. So we're looking forward to a really great event. We anticipate about 200 participants that will join us up at Camp Ripley for the day.
And that's an event that's open to all corporate partners or community networks?
Correct, yes. Registration is open now, so they should find that registration and sign up if they are excited to come to see us.
And they can get information about that on your website?
Yes, they can, yes.
And then the big question of the day is, while the conference is going on or the training workshop is going on, those that show up, will they receive any trinkets at all?
They absolutely will receive trinkets. They don't have to go shop for them, but they will receive them from us. Yes,
well,
just
good.
As a thank you for being there.
That's a great incentive for people to show up and attend this workshop. So that's great. Thank you for sharing. I do want to switch gears, because we only have a few minutes left. And Stephanie, you started off talking about the big accomplishments in 2024 and the amount of money that the corporate partners and the networks were able to really provide back to our service members and their dependents. Let's talk about 2025, because we're, you know, almost 3 months full into it, and we got a few months left, but I'm sure you've got some big goals for 2025.
Yeah, I think just being intentional with our volunteers and increasing that volunteer engagement is going to be one of our biggest pushes, and along with increasing like the awareness of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, that brand, when you see that, you know that this is for service members, veterans, and their families.
And, you know, we talk about, you know, obviously it's going to take a village, right?
Absolutely.
We know that we need the corporate partners. We know we need the networks. But one of the things you really do, and you alluded to this in the last segment, is you need people that want to step up and volunteer.
Sure.
And for whatever time they have available, one time, many times, 1 hour, multiple hours. But what would you say to people that are thinking about it, or how would they get in contact with you or with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon so they can figure out what they can fit into?
I guess my pitch would be, welcome to the family. There's a family over here that you may not know about, but by gosh, our arms are wide open, and any bit of help that you can bring or help out with, whether it's that one event or showing up to support the event or volunteering or anything along those lines, just finding out who your community network is, which one's closest, and say, hey, this is what I have available. How can I get involved? Is there something that I can help out with? Is there an upcoming event that I can help out with?
And we're 67 radio stations across Minnesota. My guess is that our reach to every corner of the state, there's probably a network or some type of an affiliation close by to no matter where someone's hearing this message right now.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. You don't have to be a service member or a veteran to be part of our family. That would be a pretty sad world if only veterans helped veterans. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, good people do good work. So Come on over. I've got a spot at my table for you.
Well, I love it. That's great messaging. And where can someone get that information? Is there a website you want to direct people to? Is there a phone number? How would we get someone
sure.
to find you?
So one of the things is if you're just looking for a way or an event that is going on, like I mentioned, there was over 1,000 events. That means that we're having at least one a day. So come on over to our Facebook, the Minnesota Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Check that out. All of the events are going to be posted there, and you can get a feel for what's going on across the state. Additionally, sign up to be a volunteer. If you don't know where your closest network is, reach out to us. It's on the website. Check us out. We'll get back to you. Like, I'm not going to auto-response. You're going to get a warm handoff, and I'm going to be the person that says, hi, I'm Stephanie. I'd like to introduce you to so-and-so.
And will you be playing Rocky theme music in the background?
Yes.
Always.
Good.
Always.
Stephanie and Tanya, it's been great to have you in the studio. You guys are a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Service to our veterans and your sacrifice as well on being military spouses. So, again, thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is our Yellow Ribbon Community Outreach Coordinators from the Minnesota National Guard, Stephanie Hurt and Tanya Mo Forbes. Joining me on the phone is the Command Senior Enlisted Leader of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Chief, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me today, Doug. I appreciate it.
Great to hear your voice. You got a lot of stuff going on, and we have a short amount of time today, so I want to make sure we capitalize on the short of time that we do. So
perfect.
One of the things that we were talking about was this legislative workshop you just came back from. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, what that initiative is all about?
Okay, so it's an opportunity for us to head out to Washington, D.C. and meet with our congressional delegation. So I took some leave, flew out to Washington, D.C. on my own with the Enlisted Association, and we went to all 10 of our congressional delegation leaders, and what a blast we had. And we're talking about our priorities like TRICARE for All, GI Bill parity, and some other educational benefits that we're looking at. So it's just a chance for us as military members to throw some nice civilian clothes on, go out there in a non-duty status, and talk to our congressional leaders about what's important to us in the Guard.
I have to imagine that those conversations are always nonpartisan, meaning they always want to try to support our veterans.
Absolutely. The minute you walk in the door, they put you at ease, and they're like, oh, if this has to do with our soldiers or our airmen or any of our military members, we're all about it.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
So we
love that. We have phenomenal support in the state of Minnesota.
So you said that you were traveling out there with a group of people from the Enlisted Association, which brings me to my next question. This is an annual event that you have with the State Enlisted Conference, the Minnesota National Guard Enlisted Conference. Tell us a little bit about that. When is it, and what can people expect?
So we're going to have our 2025 general business meeting held in Baxter at the Lodge at Brainerd Lakes. So it's a NoHo social on Friday night, April 11th at the hotel, starting at 1800. And then Saturday morning, we kick off with a business meeting at 0800 hours. And so this is where we can, we're really encouraging soldiers and airmen to bring their families. We're getting a government rate, make it a family vacation weekend. You know, there's water park passes, hot breakfast buffet, all that. So go to our website. Meninga.com, and you can register today for that conference.
That sounds like a great time. And in the last minute and a half, Chief, Best Warrior Competition. What's going on with that?
You
I hear you're prepping it. For it.
Yeah, you know, actually, Command Sergeant Major Ross is right now out in Wisconsin looking where we're going to hold the regional one at Fort McCoy. But here in state, Like April 23rd through the 26th, you're going to see some of your best soldiers coming to compete at Camp Ripley. Just a great time. Our Croatian friends are going to come this year. Our Norwegian friends aren't going to be able to come, but we're actually bringing extra Canadians down as well to participate in this. It's just a great, great opportunity for our soldiers to showcase all of their talents. And it's an annual event that we absolutely love.
And as the title indicates, it is the best warrior competition. So you're getting the best of the best, aren't you?
Yes, you are. And they're working hard for it. They work hard for that title.
Well, I know that we'll be able to celebrate those that are selected as our best warriors later on in the year. Once you get through that process, we were able to connect with a few of your best airmen of the year not too long ago right here on the show. So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, Chief, we got a minute left here. One of the other topics that you want to talk about is something called this trifecta. Tell me about that. What is it?
So that's your trifecta. That's your CGOs, your company grade officers, your E8s or your senior master sergeants, and your mid-level tech sergeant, staff sergeant, tech sergeant, NCOs are all getting together. There's 100 of us getting together at Camp Ripley to do some very important professional development. We do this every other year. It's air focused only. We have the command chief of the Air National Guard, number 14, Josh Moore, coming to Camp Ripley to be our keynote speaker. So we are fired up for that.
Well,
and that is going to take place in March.
That's awesome. What a great opportunity for that professional development and get that trifecta together, do that networking and learn a little bit more. So, hey, Chief,
exactly.
You're the best in the business. We appreciate you. And thanks so much for coming on Minnesota Military Radio with us today.
Thanks again, Doug.
All right. Best of luck. Take care of yourself. That was Command Chief Master Sergeant Lise Erickson with the Minnesota National Guard. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Join us next week when our founding host, Tom Lyons, returns to share information about Veterans Day on the Hill. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.